Live on Thai Podcast. Welcome, listeners. This is Form speaking, and right beside me, I have my fellow partner.
Hey, guys. Hardy here.
Okay, so we've been getting a lot of requests to do a show behind a book that recently came out. It's called The Hate U Give. It's written by Angie Thomas, and we decided to dedicate this episode to all you fans out there of this amazing book.
Yeah, this book was definitely something.
So before we start, those of you that don't know the story, it revolves around a 16-year-old girl named Star Carter, who moves between two drastically different worlds. On one end, there's Carden Heights, the poor and predominantly black neighborhood where she lives, and on the other hand, there's Williamson, the fancy, rich Caucasian prep school she attends. This uneasy balance between the two worlds is shattered when Star witnesses the shooting of her childhood best friend, Khalil Harris, at the hands of a police officer. Khalil was unarmed at that time.
Okay, let's dig right into this conversation. So I honestly think that a risk Star took in which an unforeseen challenge occurred was attending the party Kenya dragged her along to, as written on page 1. Which for me says a lot because it was clear that she did not want to be there. And if I continue between pages 3 to 15, she was way too distracted by the loud music and such until she spotted her childhood bestie, Khalil Harris. They caught up and exchanged giggles, then out of nowhere, shots were fired, which was expected because something had to go wrong at a place filled with drunk drug dealers. So the two fled the party in Khalil's car until they were pulled over by a cop. He ordered Khalil to come out of the car, but he refused. He put his hands on the dashboard and pulled out his license and registrations as asked, and finally stepped out. Throughout this situation, I realized I was gripping my blanket, and just as he leaned over to ask if Star was okay,
bang, bang, bang,
my heart literally stopped. I was unable to say anything, mainly because there was no one there to talk to, but that's not the point here. Khalil was killed in an instant, like someone was already killed in the first chapter.
Ooh, yes. It was like a bad nightmare she could not wake up from, but the only way to get rid of it was to go through it. Also, another risk that was taken involved Star. I read on the following pages, on 306 to 309, and it was a decision where Maverick and Lisa decided it would be best and safe for the family to move out of Garden Heights and into a community similar to where their uncle Carlos resides in. The house was made of brick, smelled like fresh paint, the kitchen had granite countertops and stainless steel appliances. Now, if I was a mother of a teen who witnessed her best friend get murdered and caused the biggest gang in the state to come after her because she dry snitched on live TV, you sure as heck know we move into a whole new country, let alone the neighborhood.
Yeah, say word.
Anyways, Lisa announced her getting a new job at a hospital, though them moving did lead to their house getting attacked. That night, when the family was watching a basketball game together, sudden gunshots were heard and a brick was thrown out a window, shattering glass everywhere as read on pages 317 and 318.
Speaking about new neighborhoods, how do you think the different settings as they are can increase the risk for Star?
So the neighborhood, Garden Heights, is kind of a hazard itself. Like I said in the summary, it's a poor, predominantly black urban neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of gang activity and violence that goes on there, making it so-called, quote, ghetto to the others. Just like on pages 20 to 22, when Star was 9, 7 was 10, and Sakani was only 1 year old, their parents gave them the talk. Basically, the talk is about what you needed to do if you're stopped by a cop in order to at least try not to get yourself killed. That just shows that the type of people they are can be a risk to others, let alone the community they're from. And that's something that's really unfair and shouldn't have to be a thing.
Also, if you look at it, going to Williamson was a risk itself. There's this quote on page 11. Funny how it works with white kids, though. It's dope to be black until it's hard to be black. Meaning people only like black culture when it's cool. But the minute something happens, do I know you? In a fear of this, Star has two versions of herself, Williamson Star and Garden Heights Star. If she accidentally mixes them up, then her social life is over. It creates a risk for her being called a ghetto, as Forum mentioned above.
So this story just throws so many difficult situations at Star. So what do you think drives or motivates her to keep on going?
I think that if I were in her place, I would just be depressed all day and not want to talk to anyone. But in these situations, Star's mom was always there to support her and motivate her. Like on pages 18 to 19, Lisa encourages her with comments like, it's going to be all right. And on pages 46 to 49, she always stood beside Star during trips to the police station and the interview, giving the confidence to fight back. I believe the main reason she was driven to speaking out were Haley's negative comments. Well, not just her, but everyone saying Khalil was a drug dealer, he deserved to die, and supporting the guilty officer 115. It annoyed her.
Also, when Star was unsure about admitting that she was the witness of Khalil's shooting, Kenya went off on her, saying on page 198, "The Khalil I know would have jumped on TV in a hot second and told everybody what happened that night if it meant defending you, and you can't do the same for him." Meaning that Star knows that she has to go on with the testimony. If not for her people, then at least for Khalil. And she did. Throughout the story, she used him as her strength to keep her going and not to be afraid. As resembled on the last page of the book, she said, "Khalil, I'll never forget. I'll never give up. I'll never be quiet. I promise."
You funny girl.
Just like you, Hardy, if I was going through everything Star was, then I would just sleep, eat, and cry all my pain away. But I feel like with everything she's been going through, it only gave her a reason to become that much stronger. How do you think Star has grown with everything that went on in her life? How would you handle it?
When Star had to handle Haley's poor sense of understanding, she was unsure whether or not she was a good influence on her as a friend. Clearly not, but it took Star some time to realize the obvious. But I understand her perception. They got really close when they both lost someone precious to them. However, if I could, I would fight anyone that commented about Khalil being a drug dealer and saying he deserved to die on page 110.
Same. I totally agree.
What do you think for him?
So, for when Star was torn between deciding whether to testify or not, letting everyone know exactly what went down that night of Khalil's death, me personally, I feel like I would have done it in a heartbeat. Hearing everyone's assumptions on your childhood best friend and saying that he was a thug and deserved to die, and watching that stupid officer 115 lying on live TV as read on pages 244 to 248 would have just triggered me in the sense that I couldn't hear all these people make such fake assumptions about something they have absolutely no clue about. Ugh, so frustrating!
OMG, right?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, what trait do you think she possesses?
I personally admire that she transformed as a Ryan character and from being unable to speak, she became strong-willed and full of conviction. Her determination is encouraging, and her way of protesting on pages 177 to 179 is flawless compared to her past self. On these pages, she protests and uses her voice to speak freely and brings out the truth about her being the witness.
Actually, when I was reading this book, on pages 58, I read that Maverick tells Star that he's witnessed many people being shot and killed in front of him as well, and that he named her Star because she was his light in the darkness. And I personally feel like that Star does live up to her name. Despite seeing two of her best friends, Natasha and Khalil, get murdered right in front of her, she's always found a way to allow herself to move on and take it in as a lesson for her and the one around her.
I definitely agree. So all in all, The Hit U Give is very compelling and a great way to spend your time. I think that's a wrap. The session has sadly come to an end. I hope this podcast episode fulfilled your cravings for this book.
I also hope that you guys enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed talking about it.
I just want to add one thing quickly before we finish up. No joke, guys. Check this book out. It'll be 100% worth every second of every word you read. That's all.
Once this is over, girl, I'm gonna get me some popcorn, some drinks, and my laptop and watch the movie version of this book, and I cannot wait for that.
So see you all next time.
Stay tuned for upcoming episodes on Thai Podcast. And remember, it's not made to eat, but cleanse your ears with our voices. Bye-bye. Toodles.